Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Come on up for the rising. Come on up with your heads in mind. Come on up for the rising. Come on up for the rising.
It's Clinton versus Obama in Pennsylvania and in the fight over the boss. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and we're debating how presidential candidates use music first on the show today, and then later we'll hear how Habib Kouaté mixes the sounds of his native Mali with Western influences when he plays live in our Soundcheck studio. But as Pennsylvania Democrats are heading to the polls today, the focus in the media is on the increasingly bitter tone of the Democratic contest. But there's another contest that we at Soundcheck are focusing on. Which candidate has the best music on their side? Hillary Clinton has been using this song, The Rising, at her campaign rallies, but that's likely to change after Bruce Springsteen threw his support to Barack Obama. Conventional wisdom says that Obama is the candidate of choice for the R&B and hip-hop community, while Clinton has much of the establishment music business in her corner. So just who is the more musical candidate? It's a question that can only be answered through this week's edition of
Soundcheck Smackdown.
In the Clinton corner, we have Jamu Green, a Democratic political analyst and former president of Rock the Vote. And in the Obama corner, Danny Goldberg, president of the artist management agency Gold Village Entertainment and author of several books about music and politics, including How the Left Lost Teen Spirit. Danny, I'm going to begin with you. Give us your best shot. Why is Obama the more musical candidate?
I think that a lot of musical artists were against the war in Iraq, and there was a movement of activism that was created in the wake of the war in Iraq, and there was a lot of frustration that a lot of the Democratic leadership supported it. And there was a lot of appreciation for those Democrats that didn't support it. And Hillary Clinton voted for the war, and Barack Obama was opposed to it. And I think that if it weren't Barack Obama, I think someone else would have emerged to challenge her based on that particular issue. And I think that's an important issue with a lot of artists. It's certainly not the only one, but it's one that activated a lot of musical artists. And it's not just the war, but it's, as Obama says, the mindset that led to the war that I think a lot of people are deeply disturbed about and like the idea of someone who didn't buy into that mindset.
So it's not a musical angle at all, but a political one as far as you
think. Oh, I think they both have pretty good taste in music.
Okay. Jamu, what about Hillary Clinton? She has some heavy hitters behind her. What makes her, you know, gives her better musical credentials?
Well, I think the exact reason why she has the heavy hitters who have been lifelong activists fighting for progressive issues, fighting, you know, in the trenches with Democrats for cycle after cycle. And those are the music executives and musicians who are behind her, Barbara Streisand, Quincy Jones, you know, Clarence Avant. I think, you know, a lot of the attention and excitement in the music community behind Barack Obama, I actually disagree with Danny. I don't think is issue-based or, you know, focused on the vote she took on the war resolution, but it actually just has to do more with, you know, his celebrity nature and some of the people who are searching for that rock star quality when the voters are actually searching for who's going to be the best president, and that's Hillary Clinton.
All right, Danny, Jamu brings up a good point, and this is the knock on Obama. When you look at the list of musicians who've, you know, lined up behind each of the candidates, Obama has, you know, Black Eyed Peas and Stevie Wonder, but also, you know, Fall Out Boy and Jeff Tweedy from Wilco, Connor Oberst from Bright Eyes, flashy young names, but not with the substantial musical careers of a Madonna or a Barbra Streisand or a Tony Bennett.
I think Dave Matthews Band and Bruce Springsteen are equally substantial in terms of their careers. I don't think it's a contest of ticket sales or album sales. They both would sell a lot. I think one of the things that's very exciting to me about Barack Obama is his ability to inspire young people. And certainly a lot of musicians are driven by their connection with younger people, even as they get older. That's sort of the soul of music. And communication is part of the job description of president. And his ability to inspire and motivate young people is extraordinary. And in fact, he's been winning by an average of 20 points among voters under 30. And I think that's a testament to a unique talent that he has. And, you know, the Republicans had Ronald Reagan. The Democrats haven't had anyone who had that kind of charisma. And I don't think charisma is an insubstantial quality in a president, especially if you want to mobilize the public to oppose some of the special interests that otherwise predominate in Washington.
All right. Well, mobilizing the public and mobilizing the young public, not necessarily one and the same thing. And Jammu, I mean, as a former president of Rock the Vote, you were, you know, vitally aware of what it took to get young votes out there. Do you have a response to what Danny says?
Well, I do congratulate Senator Obama on tapping into what we saw at Rock the Vote as a trend in significant increases in youth voting, starting back in 2004 with record numbers of young people turning out, then repeated with 2 million more young people turning out in the 2006 midterm elections. And I don't necessarily agree with some of the pundits out there who think that Senator Obama created this youth enthusiasm for the political process. This is something that he tapped into. His campaign should be applauded for. But Senator Clinton also inspires many young people. If you look at California and Massachusetts, two states that have the densest populations of young people, she won those states and she won the youth vote in those states. And her support from young people is just a little bit different than his, you know, not traditionally the, you know, four-year college student. It's the waitresses, it's the nurses, it's the working women who have two kids already and they're under the age of 30. And that should be given credit as well. And I think that is reflective in the songs that she chooses to, you know, introduce herself with on stage. A lot of Dixie Chicks, you hear it from time to time. And I think it does inspire those young women who are working and out in the real world already.
Danny, it seems like Obama has the hipster vote cornered. He's got got people like Bright Eyes not only supporting him, but actually playing at an Obama rally in his native Omaha. Let's hear this song called When the President Talks to God.
When the president talks to God, are the conversations brief or long? Does he ask to rape our women's rights and send poor farm kids off to die? Does God suggest an oil hike when the president talks to God? When the president talks to God, are the consonants all hard or soft? Is he resolute all down the line? Is every issue black or white? Does what God say ever change his mind when the president talks to God?
That is Connor Oberst, a.k.a. Bright Eyes, and When the President Talks to God, recorded at an Obama rally in Oberst's native Omaha. We're debating the relative musical merits of the two Democratic campaigns, Clinton and Obama, on Pennsylvania primary day with Jammu Green, Democratic political analyst and former Rock the Vote president, and Danny Goldberg, who is author of How the Left Lost Teen Spirit and president of Gold Village Entertainment. They're both here with us in our Soundcheck studio, and we want to hear from our Soundcheck listeners as well. Which Democratic candidate has the best music on their side? Does it matter to you? Can it help them? Give us a call at 212-264-7483 or leave a comment on the Soundcheck page of our website at WNYC.org. The number again, 212-264-7483. Danny, I mean, Jammu was talking about the sort of working class younger voters that Clinton did so well with in Massachusetts and in California. In Pennsylvania, both of them are courting the working class vote. What impact will the Springsteen endorsement have with those voters?
I don't know that anybody really votes because of what a musician says, and I think it's a mistake to overstate the importance of it. I think artists, whether it's the Black Eyed Peas or Springsteen on the one hand, or Hillary Clinton being supported by Elton John and Barbra Streisand on the other, it's part of the general aura that connects them to the popular culture, that creates some kind of a common language with people that may not read the op-ed pages and read every position paper on a candidate's website. But I think for people who are fans of Bruce Springsteen, who respect his values, his stance over the years, he's certainly been someone who identified with working people. You know, it might be a little bit of credibility, but at the end of the day, people have to choose between these candidates, not who the musicians are that support them. Musicians' jobs to create an atmosphere so the candidates can get their message heard.
It's a very nuanced answer in an arena where nuance often gets really lost. Jamu, do you feel that, you know, there are circumstances where a musician's endorsement really can sway some voters?
I agree with Danny and, you know, his assertion that it's not what is the driving factor behind someone's individual vote. It helps to bring attention, especially when it comes to, you know, getting activists signed up to volunteer, when it comes to registering large numbers of voters. If you have those eyeballs from that musician, then you have that many more people to reach out to. But I do think it does matter when a candidate chooses gets an endorsement or chooses a song from a musician that is detrimental to his or her campaign. And I think there's one such situation in this race that hasn't gotten a lot of attention. When Senator Obama won in Iowa back in January, he walked out in his victory event to a Jay-Z song, a Jay-Z song by the name of 99 Problems. And if you'll indulge me, I'd like to tell you what those lyrics are. If you're having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I've got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. And that is a bad decision. That's a bad call on his campaign. And for him to walk out there and, you know, give permission for people to refer to a woman who has given her entire life to fighting for vulnerable communities, fighting for people to have a strong political voice, to basically endorse calling her that word, I think is unacceptable. And many young women I talk to, when they find that out, it really makes them change their mind about where Senator Obama is.
So you're saying that the use of that song was actually aimed at Clinton?
Well, I think anyone in their right mind who listens to those lyrics would draw that same conclusion when he's talking about having lots of problems, but a bitch ain't one. I think that then points to how so many other people have felt okay in using just completely sexist, misogynistic lyrics or language in this campaign when it comes from the campaign, when it comes from, you know, being approved by the candidate, walking on stage, pumping your fist to that. That's unacceptable. It's unacceptable to young women, and it should be pointed out that the Obama campaign got a complete pass on this, and we shouldn't let them get away with it.
Danny, it's not the first or last time that Jay-Z has sort of cropped up on the periphery of the Obama campaign. There was the moment after the last debate between Clinton and Obama. I guess he was in North Carolina, was it? Where he was talking about, oh man, you know, I've been through this thing with Hillary Clinton, and it was 45 minutes before they ever got to any substantial stuff. And, you know, we took our shots, and when that happens, and he pauses and he does the move where he wipes the dust off, the dirt off his shoulder, referring to the Jay-Z song, Dirt Off Your Shoulder. Is he going to eventually get called on this, on his association with a foul-mouthed rapper?
Well, there's certainly people in the punditocracy and in the Republican camp and who want to have the campaign be about guilt by association, that any staff person who is crude or sexist who works for Obama, or any staff person who is crude or racist who works for Hillary Clinton, that they should be the defining element of the campaign. That's just ridiculous. All campaigns have crude idiots working for them, including the Obama campaign. But what matters is what the candidates stand for and what the candidates say. And for a lot of us that are concerned about the war, that are concerned about the outcome of the war as far as how it's encouraged torture, how it's encouraged $1 trillion disappearing from this country, gas prices obviously higher because of the instability in the Middle East, the whole erosion of the moral authority of this country to some people around the world because of this crazy war, and mostly the damage to the soldiers, their families, and the American people. Who had the wisdom to understand that the pressures for that war were wrong and stand up to it is the motivating factor of why a lot of people are for Barack Obama. And the fact that each candidate has crude morons working for them is not the reason to vote for either of them, because all campaigns have bad people working for them. At the end of the day, that's not the defining character of the Obama campaign any more than some of the crude people that's worked for the Clinton campaign represent her character.
We're speaking about the relative musical merits of the two Democratic contenders for the presidential nod, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama going at it in Pennsylvania today, and Jamu Green and Danny Goldberg going at it here in our studios today on our Soundcheck Smackdown. Here is the Jay-Z song that Obama referenced when he made that motion of brushing the dirt off your shoulder.
Tim, you can go and brush your shoulder off, Ruben. I got you. If you're feeling like a pimp, nigga, go and brush your shoulders off. Ladies is pimps too, go and brush your shoulders off. Niggas is crazy, baby, don't forget that boy told you, kid. Turn up your shoulders. I'm probably over to y'all. Probably be locked by the force. Trying to hustle some things that go with the posh. Feeling no remorse, feeling like my hand was false. Middle finger to the law, nigga, gripping my balls. Said the ladies, they love me. From the bleachers, they screaming. All the ballers is bouncing, they like the way I be leaning. All the rappers be hating off the track that I'm making. But all the hustlers, they love it just to see one of us make it. Came from the bottom of the bottom to the top of the pops. London, Japan, and I'm straight off the block. Like a running back, get it, man, I'm straight off the block. I can run it back, cause I'm straight with the rock.
Jay-Z's song, Dirt Off Your Shoulder. He says, if you're feeling like a pimp, go and brush your shoulders off. Get that dirt off your shoulder. Jamu Green, you know, you had a problem with his use of a Jay-Z song earlier in the campaign. Did the Clinton camp, as far as you know, have anything to say about him? He didn't actually quote the song, but when he did that thing with, you know, the motion on his shoulders, the whole audience there knew what he was talking about.
Well, yes, they did. And I think that it was a calculated attempt for him to make that connection with popular culture. I think that, you know, he, through this campaign, has grown closer and closer in his association with rap music and is, in a sense, clinging to it. I think I see how that is something that his campaign feels is appropriate because it addresses two of the most important constituencies for him, black voters and the, you know, upper class voters in this country that have been spoon-fed rap by the record industry for decades and are now coming of age. I think that, you know, it's a good campaign strategy for him to continue to embrace that. But I do agree with Danny that, you know, none of these situations is what is the defining character of both of these candidates. But I will say, when you, Danny, talk so much about the war, the vote on the war resolution, that is not the one and only defining characteristic of Senator Clinton. And I think people who take a look at her 35 years of working for health insurance, working for children's education, working for women and family and children's, and that overall is the totality of her character as well.
And just to, you know, again, point out that we are looking in a kind of genial way here at the music behind the two campaigns. You know, I think at the end of the day, there are certainly more substantive ways of parsing the two campaigns. But we're looking at, you know, some of the musicians who've lined up behind each of the two candidates, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. Gabriel here in New York writes, Barack definitely has a better musical contingent, but they're all bandwagon reactionaries. I'm sure Will.i.am has no clue about where either candidate stands on substantial issues or what they have accomplished as senators. Let's see what one of our callers has to say. Beth, joining us from Princeton.
Why would he assume that
Princeton
about Will.i.am?
I don't know. Gabriel's kind of not here to answer, but Beth is. Beth, welcome to Soundcheck.
Yeah, I'm calling to say that I think Hillary's use of the rising is completely inappropriate. It's not an anthem. It's not a call to action. It is literally a song about what happened to a firefighter on September 11th. And while it has an uplifting tune and it sounds like an upbeat song, it is a literal song about September 11th and the resurrection of a firefighter who dies down at the Trade Center. And I just can't get the connection at all between her campaign rallying and the use of that song. There was a lot of controversy many years ago over Ronald Reagan using Born in the USA as a song, and I think that it's been misappropriated and misunderstood.
Well, and Born in the USA was a very ironic look at what it meant to be an American. So, yeah, a good point, Beth. Let me ask Jamu for a comment. I mean, with Springsteen coming out for Barack Obama, will she drop The Rising, do you think?
I think Senator Clinton has used a variety of songs. She hasn't been stuck to one throughout this 15-month-long campaign. And, you know, my favorite song that she uses on the trail is actually also my favorite karaoke song, which is Dolly Parton's 9 to 5. I think it shows just how much of a hard worker this woman is.
And, you know, we've done a segment on this on the show in the past, too. If you actually listen to the lyrics of any of the songs that the candidates play, you can... In almost all of them, you can find something that seems to play against the message that they're trying to convey, you know, if you actually go and parse all the lyrics and stuff. So let's give out the number again, take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Jamu Green and with Danny Goldberg on our Soundcheck Smackdown this week, looking at the musical celebrities and endorsements that both Clinton and Obama have gained and the music that they use in their campaign. You can be a part of our conversation online by leaving a comment on the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org, or you can call us, our number 212-264-7483. That's 212-264-7483. This is Soundcheck.
I buy a big house where we both could live. If I was a sculptor, but then again, no, or a man who makes potions out of
coming up in a moment, more of our Soundcheck Smackdown on music and the Democratic presidential campaign. And then coming up later, this Malian guitarist, Habib Kwate, joins us to talk about his first studio album in 6 years. And he'll play live in our studio. This is Soundcheck.
For this day to come, for all the midnight lights are burnt into the morning sun.
It's Power Ballots today on Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. This song by Big Head Todd and the Monsters has been used by Hillary Clinton at her rallies. And with us are Jamu Green, a Democratic political analyst and former president of Rock the Vote, and Danny Goldberg, president of the artist management agency Gold Village Entertainment and author of several books about music and politics, including How the Left Lost Teen Spirit. And we're speaking with our Soundcheck listeners as well, asking you, which Democratic candidate has the best music on his or her side? Can that help them? Does it matter to you? You can leave a comment on the Soundcheck page, WNYC.org, and we'll get back to calls in a moment. Jamu, Hillary Clinton has often used, as you said, 9 to 5, which you admit also is your favorite karaoke song, Big Head Todd and Blue Sky, but also Cruel Fate, and American Girl. Now, you know, when you look at, this goes back to what I was saying before, you look at some of those lyrics, I mean, American Girl's about a romance that's gone bad, it's turned sour, it hasn't worked out well. You know, how much is she really aware, and I'll have to ask Danny the same question about Barack Obama, how much of the songs that we hear associated with the campaign really reflect what Hillary Clinton listens to and likes?
Well, I think definitely there's not someone sitting there checking the lyrics before all of these songs are played. And, you know, Senator Clinton does like music, and she likes to sway to different songs that move her. And I think sometimes the song is just something that is one of her favorites from growing up. And, you know, that's appropriate, too. Both of these candidates are human. They have, you know, musicians that they've been listening to for years. And, you know, that's probably the case with some of the song choices. What's going to make her feel the most upbeat? What's going to give her the most energy and the crowd the most energy? And I think that goes into it as well.
Danny, do you get the impression that Barack Obama knows maybe a little more about the music that's chosen for his campaign than other?
I haven't a clue. I guarantee they both know more about music than John McCain does. And and it is a great feeling as someone in the music business and in the music community to be a Democrat I can't imagine what Republicans in the music community are feeling when they contemplate the music that's going to be available to them. But I think music is impressionistic. It's part of the background as well as the foreground. But I think there was one unique thing in this campaign, which is Will.i.am of
from the
Black Eyed Peas. Taking a speech. It was actually a speech that Senator Obama made when he lost the New Hampshire primary. And there was such a musicality and poetry to the speech that he was able, I felt, seamlessly to combine it with a musical track and create this music video that's half art and half politics. And I'm not sure that that's how to elect a president, but it's a remarkable achievement for a political figure to enter the heart of listeners in a way, and not only the minds. And I think that Democrats and liberals need that in order to compete. They can't just be cerebral wonks and succeed in winning, even if they're right on the merits, if they can't touch people's hearts.
Jimmo?
Well, we were saying during the break how much respect we have for Will.i.am, and I think that, you know, it's appropriate that he actually met Senator Obama at the Rock the Vote Awards back in 2005 when Barack and Senator John McCain received the Rock the Nation Awards, the top award that the organization gave out. And I think what's symbolic of this election, though, is that Senator Clinton received the inaugural Rock the Nation Award. And, you know, it's great that we have these two candidates. We're just, you know, looking to put the most qualified one in first and then hopefully follow that up by the newcomer.
Well, the now Danny was saying, you know, what are the Republicans thinking about the music that John McCain's campaign is going to use? Here is an email from Stan who writes, "I think John McCain's clever use of recombinant Lawrence Welk tops them all. The champagne maestro has never sounded fresher." So there, Danny.
Touche.
All right. Let's go to the phones. Steve joining us here in New York. Steve, welcome to Soundcheck. Steve, are you with us? Apparently not. All right, let's try Pam in Newark. Pam, welcome to the program.
Hi. Actually, this is Pam calling from Brick. From,
okay. Are you on the Obama or Clinton side?
Well, actually, I don't think I'm on any side. But I just had a quick comment. I might be very naive, or maybe I'm not as savvy as your guests are portraying Obama when it came for the gesture of brushing off his shoulders. I guess it's my generation. I'm not into rap music, so I'm very naive when it comes to that. So when I saw him do the gesture, I'm thinking of what I grew up with, just very simplistically brush it off, you know, brush off all of the negativity that Hillary Clinton was putting out there towards him. So for people that aren't into the whole rap scene, we kind of look at things a little more literal, maybe.
Yeah.
And
so when you saw him do that, you just figure, you just kind of literally took it as brush it off, you know, put it out of your mind and move on. What about
exactly.
But the crowd, the immediate response from the crowd, standing and cheering and stuff, did that make you think that maybe they're seeing something here that I'm missing?
No, actually, I hadn't even thought of that until you just asked me that question, because I'm thinking it's that simple. Just brush it off and move on. Let's not give any of it a second thought, and let's not give her any more power, you know, than needs to be with this whole situation.
All right. Pam, you'll be interested to hear this comment from Chris, writing from here in New York. "I have made the gesture where I dust myself off figuratively, flick the mess off my sleeves, but I had no idea Jay-Z did it, and my move is not imitating him. It's not like he invented the move." All right, so that's now that we've done with the flicking of the dirt off of the shoulders, let's move on. We're talking today about music in the campaigns, and Jimmu Green is with us defending the Clinton camp, and Danny Goldberg for Obama. And Danny, there is Obama is walking a line here. He's got a lot of, you know, kind of street cred, cool musicians from the indie rock, the hip-hop world, but that can cut both ways. You know, on the one hand, people have said that Hillary has, you know, this kind of mainstream musical force behind her. isn't that what Obama wants and needs? Don't you need to have the mainstream to get elected?
I think he's gotten the mainstream by getting more votes and winning more states and getting more pledged delegates. I think that there's no one mainstream of music. There's people that love classical music. There's people that love country music. There's people that love polka and reggae. You know, Obama uses people like John Fogerty and Earth, Wind, and Fire and the Staple Singers, as well as having the, and Hillary Clinton uses all different kinds of music. I don't think there's one mainstream. I think they're both pretty mainstream, frankly. I think they're both valid candidates to lead this country. I happen to prefer Obama. I think he does touch an emotional chord that I don't think anyone in either party has touched in many decades. But they're both well in the mainstream of American culture and would be great leaders. And I think that's why the musicians that appeal to the mainstream are divided almost equally between them.
All right. We're talking about Senator Clinton and Senator Obama and the respective musical endorsements, the music that they use on the trail, etc. And Ben joins us from Staten Island. Ben, I understand you are a music writer for the local paper there.
Yeah, I am. I write about music for the Staten Island Advance newspaper, yep.
And so what do you think about all this?
Well, it's interesting. I had to call in because I blogged about it a few months ago. I can't remember what. I think it was right before Super Tuesday. But I was. I don't know. I kind of sort of disagree with the people you've got on there. I think that Obama has. I was sort of looking at the lists, you know, before Super Tuesday, and I was sort of struck with how many indie artists were supporting Obama, and I'd like to hear, you know, your guests name like some real indie independent artists or underground artists that have come out supporting Hillary Clinton, because I don't know, I was sort of struck just by how many independent artists supported Obama. I also was at a fundraiser a while ago that Hillary Clinton and Sonic Youth were at, and it was a couple years ago. And I was, it was a funny thing. It was in Lower Manhattan, and she actually, she said something akin to, "These Sonic Youth kids are doing a wonderful thing," or
but this, you know, is prior to the campaign, and it wasn't like Sonic Youth
her. I did a fundraiser for Hillary Clinton when she ran for the U.S. Senate, and I think she's great in the Senate.
And you want to keep her there. Jamu, let me ask you, I mean, this is something that has come up. I mean, Ben raises a valid point. People look at the list of people backing up Hillary Clinton, and it's Madonna, and it's Tony Bennett, and Carly Simon, and Elton John, and Barbara Streisand. Are there kind of, you know, more grassroots independent artists who are on that line as well?
Absolutely, they are. I've been just so honored to get to travel through Pennsylvania and Oregon for the campaign, and you know, you have a number of singer-songwriters who, you know, only play to the small audiences in their communities in these small towns, and they're putting together fundraisers, doing house parties, doing everything they can. Many of them, you know, women singer-songwriters. I can't sit here. I'm not a music writer, so I can't address Ben's question and list all of the indie artists, but she has her fair share of support. I would also add that I think, as I sit here with Danny Goldberg, one of the initial architects of the Rock the Vote organization, that what's interesting about this election is that for the first time, you don't have a lot of messages in the media really slamming celebrities, musicians, for coming out and having a more vocal voice. And I think that that's a great sign that we're moving in the right direction, because, you know, you can think back to when the Dixie Chicks took their stance, you know, 4 years ago, mm-hmm. and the outcry that happened out of it, and I think a lot of people backed away from having a political voice, and it's just great to see that it has reemerged, and they're not taking the same hits.
Danny, do you agree? Good thing to see musicians getting so politically involved?
I think it's good that everybody get involved, and I think a lot of the indie musicians were against the war, and although the economy is incredibly important, a lot of us feel the war impacts the economy, and that movement that emerged in the anti-war movement is more for Obama than for Hillary Clinton, and I think that's what he's picking up on.
All right, in the interest of equal time, well, it's not so equal, but here is a little bit of John McCain's signature tune, the 1958 Chuck Berry hit Johnny Be Good, to wrap up our segment on music in the campaigns today. Our Soundcheck Smackdown this afternoon has featured Jamu Green, former president of Rock the Vote, Democratic political analyst, and Danny Goldberg, author of How the Left Lost Teen Spirit and president of Gold Village Entertainment. Jamu Dani, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks, Jim.
And coming up, a live performance from the acclaimed Malian guitarist Habib Kouate. And on tomorrow's show, find out whatever happened to the TV show theme song. Also tomorrow, keyboardist Marco Benevento of the Benevento Russo Duo shares songs from his first solo album. All of that tomorrow on Soundcheck. Oh, oh.